Going Greyhounds for your daily update of the latest news and tips.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Going Greyhounds for Tuesday, March 26. My name is Kat Ernst and joining me to chat all things greyhound racing is Jared Daffy up there in Queensland. And Daff, you had a case of COVID last week. How are we feeling this week?
Yeah, I did, Kat. I had it around about 12 months ago, but thankfully it wasn't anywhere near like what it was. But I can tell you what, there's a lot of it around, either bad flu or COVID. People still getting it, but thankfully it doesn't shut the whole country down like it did a couple of years ago.
Definitely. Well, glad to hear that you are recuperating now and looking forward to another big week of greyhound racing, of course, highlighted by heats of the Group 1 Golden Easter Egg at Wentworth Park this Saturday night. And the all-in market has been taken down off the TAB website, of course, because those box draws are just being completed now. But, Daff, it's shaping up to be an interesting series this year, I'd say. We're probably losing a few star attractions due to the Sandgroper being hot on the heels of the Easter Egg. But it'll be very exciting to see what dogs we do get when those fields come out later today.
You're right. That market's been up for several weeks now. A lot of casualties, yes. Those are heading to the Sandgroper. They wouldn't have been able to run in it. There's a few that were injured. Actually, there was plenty in the market that were either injured or said they weren't going to run in that. Zipping Megatron was one of those. So that market will be updated later in the day after we have the heats. And, of course, the Association Couple, they go around on Saturday week. And there's been some interesting moves in this one. Kat, if we can just touch on it now. There's various opinion as to how many heats of the Association Cup they'll get, maybe two, maybe three, maybe they'll get four, I don't really know. But one thing that is worth pointing out is that the two favourites, and I think we mentioned this last week, Valpolicella and Palawar King, they were both $4.50. You'd be hard-pressed to put up an argument why, firstly, they wouldn't be nominated. Could only be injury, so you get your money back anyway, but surely they make their way through to the final. So there's been a bit of a realignment of prices there. Valpolicella, we saw her back in action at Albion Park on Thursday night, not a slowish track, didn't break 42, but won by Panels of Fencing. She's into $3, and Palawar King, well, you couldn't miss what he did at Dubbo when running second to Belluna, and he's now $3.50. So they hit the market, $8 or better for the rest.
It's going to be a very interesting Golden Easter Egg series as well, because several of these runners are going to be heading towards the new sensation. We obviously saw Good Odds Cobbers going there as well. And it just begs the question, I suppose, as well, that the new sensation worth $40,000 to the winner, it could be just as good, if not better, than the Egg this year, based on some of the dogs that are going there.
It's shaping that way. And I suppose one thing it does point out is that, you know, these trainers and the one you mentioned there, Good Odds Cobber, and obviously Zipping Megatron, you know, they've got the welfare of the dog first or front of mind anyway. It's pretty easy to put a dog in these big races, particularly when they're inexperienced, and just throw them into the deep end. But you know, that's how caring some of these trainers and connections are, that they're more than happy to go around for a lot less than what's available on the big table, and you know, hopefully get one of those wins in a new sensation.
Definitely. And Daff just mentioned the Group 1 Association Cup. Those heats will be on in a week's time. One of the leading chances going towards that off Saturday's performance will be Aston Costello. Let's listen to his win from Saturday night.
$3, Sinrap Explode. Lid flies, missing it out the back as Portman slash the Queenslanders last of all. And Aston Costello showed the best speed. He'll go over and lead. Al's Entity gets into second berth and rallying up is Monster Mill, third defence, followed by Sinrap Explode. About three lengths away to Zipping Whiskey, second to last, and Portman's Last sees them all. Out of the back, and it's the former Victorian Aston Costello. He's out by three lengths now on Al's Entity. Then came on the inside Monster Mill. A couple of lengths, Sinrap Explode making some ground. Then out the back is Portman's Lass. Coming to the home corner, though, Aston Costello still finding his kicking clear of Al's Entity. And Aston Costello goes all the way. Second in Al's Entity, rocketing home, Zipping Whiskey, followed by Sinrap Explode.
That was Aston Costello winning over the 720-metre journey on Saturday night. And, of course, trained by Charmaine Roberts and Shane Stiff. And Stiffy joins us now to have a chat about that greyhound, as well as the trio of winners that they collected on Saturday night. Good morning to you, Shane.
Good morning, Kat. Good morning, Daff. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Let's first of all start on Aston Costello, because it was a tough win out in front when he lobbed straight on the lure. I guess you would have just been hoping that he could cling on, and he was actually pretty strong to the line.
Yeah, we were really happy with the run. Obviously, his first 700, but he did have a real good prep. He had the three 600s at Dubbo, and Glenn and Vicky had a few 600s and 650s in Melbourne. So he had about six or seven of them all up. So he was rock hard and as fit as a fiddle. But when they push that pain barrier, that last 100 for the 700-metre dogs, you never really know what you're going to get. But the best thing is he pulled up real good. So we're very, very happy with him.
Stiffy, he's one of my favourite dogs. I've had some good wins on him in Victoria. He's always neglected in the market, and that's been his peach, the 600 odds, and he's run some time. He's broken 34 seconds at Sandown, and I actually made a bad error. I bet against him on Saturday night because I thought he might be suspect, but the further the race went, the further he put it beyond doubt.
Yeah, we've got a 440-metre straight track at home, and when Glenn and Vicky come up the first day, we give him a couple of slips up, and he wouldn't blow a candle out. And the last 100's always a question, but 700 was always going to suit him better than 600 jump on the bends, because he only comes out with them. But when you got that run to the first turn, like 15.99, if he can keep doing that and be a front-running stayer, obviously you've got to find two or three tenths. You've got to have to be 42.6, 42.7 if you want to beat, you know, Jack's dog and Zemet's dog. But if he can stay at that, And run that and find another 2 tenths, he might be able to give these races a shake.
Well, it's going to be exciting heading into the Association Cup heats in around 12 days' time from now, Shane. Based on that, what do you do with him between now and then?
No, he had a nice flip this morning. He actually came up the straight with Zali, and it was a photo finish with him this morning, and then he will... nominated for Saturday night. They've got a top grade on, so let's hope they get that. And go to Wentworth Park, and then hopefully the Association Cup, and then the 7:15.
Stiffy, he's owned by Ray Border, who's got all of those Aston Greyhounds. He's got thousands of them, it seems. Is this the first time you've had a dog for Ray?
Yeah, it's the first dog we've had for Ray, but Glenn's often trained dogs for me and Charmaine over the years at a few of our keepings, and if I go to Melbourne, sometimes stay at Glenn's and often call in. He's been a good mate for years, and he's got a stack of dogs racing, and he's also got Aston Rip. He's busy with him with stud duties a couple of days a week, so to save the travel, and he's just left him with Charmaine for this race and for the 7:15.
Now, we touched on the fact that you had three winners at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. One of the other impressive ones was Zali Keeping. She went around in 29.52, winning the first event of fifth grade. Must be very exciting, her prospects moving forward, and no doubt the new sensation is on your radar.
No, we had a change of plans last night with them bitches when we read the article from Frankie Hurst and Tracy with Good Odds Cobber, and me and Shimona got a different way of thinking. They're fast bitches, this litter, the Magamba litter, don't worry about that. But they are very headstrong and a little bit mad, and they can do a bit wrong. So we'd rather race them against good dogs, because good dogs seem to race truer. And a very good trainer a long time ago said to me, you know, let good dogs race good dogs, and they race better. So Shimona's changed the plan, and they've been nominated for the egg. And that way, if you go to the egg, as I said, the new sensation, it might be a better field than Megatron and Good Odds Cobber and them dogs of all them other good hot young pups around. So she's going to go to the egg with them. And if you get knocked out of the egg, then you've got the Ultra Sense the week later anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Just on that, on those two, Zali Keeping and Cindy Keeping, they're by Magambo, as you touched on, out of Caitlin Keeping. I think you guys bred that litter. What was the logic behind Magambo?
I had the Magambo straw sitting there for a long, long time. I got it off Marty Helen. He it was his line, and I actually swapped him a collision straw or a different straw for that. And just Caitlin was a real good bitch to us, but she lacked that bit of strength and a bit of fire. And we all know Magembo's through strength and fire. So that's what we went with her, and we can't fault the litter. There's still a couple more in it that go real good. Camilla fell over in the Futurity, and she's on the way back now. She's just a week or two short for these races, but she might be all right for the Ultra Sense the week after.
And you mentioned Caitlin Keeping. She, of course, won a blacktop, I think it was, at the Garden. So it's good to see her throwing on, and these two, they look pretty special.
Yeah. As I said, they're nice, fast bitches, but they've got to step up to the plate and start. Keep running the 537s and M sections and the 29 fives and sixes at Wennie. It's all right doing against the fifth grades and own grades, but they're certainly fast, but they've just got to start putting it all together.
And if we can go back to Dubbo last Saturday week, Stiffy, it looked like a hugely successful night, even though the weather wasn't kind to you. But it didn't go unnoticed that when Jack Smith Dog won the feature there, that there was a crew of you in that parade area, led by you, high-fiving each other after the race. Something on the winner?
Mate, if you go back to the replays, the week before the heat, Simon Orchard, I backed two pre-post, and the $34 was big overs.
Mm-hmm.
And I did back it, and the other bitch that won on the night but didn't make the final, one of the reserves, her name escapes me at the moment. But, yeah, no, I was on pre-post at 34. I didn't, when she got box eight in the final, I actually didn't like her. I didn't know whether she could get across the speed on the inside, but Jack, being the maestro he is, got her out in front, and we duly collected. So it was another good night. Don't worry about that.
It looked a hugely successful night. I guess you've started planning for next year. Any changes in the wind?
Yeah. We're going to try and reinvent. The rain was disappointing. We just don't know whether it costs us another 300, 400, 500 people. We don't know, but we're tossing up a couple of ideas for next year, and we'll sit down with my committee and secretary in the next week or two and come up with a couple of ideas and fresh them out. And you've got to weigh up, you know, your spend versus your return. Yeah. And they said the buck and bull competition and the 10,000 was all great. It's just, you know, everything had to come indoors because of that drizzle rain. But in another way, Daff, we need the rain out here. We needed it bad. And that was Saturday night. We had 5 or 6 mil that was annoying. But the Sunday night, between 7 and 9, we had 2 inches. So if that was a day early, it could have been an absolute strip out. So
how long did you...
We can't protect the weather.
How long did you stay on the ball for?
Mate, I was on for the 15, 16 seconds, the only one that could really do it, you know? I collected all the side bets, so that was all right.
I thought that was the most important question. It was going to be the last one for me. Who was the best on ground with the ball?
Well, you've seen the videos, you know. Everyone else got bucked off. Only one stayed on, so.
You didn't collect. You didn't super glue yourself to it, or did you have a little bit of practice?
No, I hadn't been on a buck and bull for a long, long time. But, mate, you've got to look at the physique of some of us and then some of the others that tried to get on, you know. It's all about the training, isn't it?
Yeah, but the beauty of it is, and, you know, we did talk about this in the weeks leading into that race, it's difficult for clubs now, in any code, to get crowds through the gate, and probably more so families. And just looking at that crowd, I know it was wet, but the amazing amount of youngsters that were there, and it's little things like that. Okay, they love their greyhounds to pad, etc., but things like that will bring people through the gate, particularly in, well, it's not an outback area, but, you know, it's out west.
Yeah, we're kind of lucky. We do have a good family orientation here. For years, we had jumping castles here, Daff, and the kids loved it, and it was great, but we had to pull them down with insurance and all that. Now we don't have them now. So we have table tennis and totem poles and the sand pit and basketball, trying to keep the kids entertained and then get them watching the dogs and that. But it is hard, mate. There's no clubs will tell you it's easy, but we just try and keep the drink prices down and good tucker in the canteen to keep them coming back. And it's working at the moment, but you do have to just keep, you know, throwing something into the works to keep them entertained and that. And then hopefully that brings them. But let the greyhounds do the talking too. Sometimes just let them come and watch good dogs race and try and back a winner. So.
Yeah, you're quite right about that. Well, again, congratulations for last Saturday night at Treble. Those two early in the night, Zali Keeping, Cindy Keeping, and, of course, Aston Castello. And you nearly made it a quadrilla with Tom Keeping.
Yeah, old Tommy is a favourite of Charmaine and Fiona's. And I said I'm not giving him an ice cream. He didn't win, but he still got one on the way out because his run was actually real, real good. And he's a good old dog. He's only waiting now for the Million Dollar Chase Masters. He'll be over 4 year old for that, so that'll be their goal. But in the meantime, if he's running good enough, he can go around Wentworth Park and keep earning prize money, because he's another dog. You put him out in the paddock to have a spell and they just bark and play up to come in the kennel and be trained and race. He just loves racing.
All right, well, sounds like you've got a few trips to Wentworth Park in the coming couple of weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. We'll see how it all evolves. Thanks for your time this morning, Stiffy, and all the very best with the team going forward.
Yep, all the best, everyone, and good punting.
There he is, Shane Stiff, part of the Shane and Roberts kennel, and they had a night out on Saturday night, Kat.
They definitely did, and good news to hear that Shane and Charmaine are going to tackle the Easter egg. As we touched on before, the new sensation looks like it's going to be just as deep as the egg series. So good on them for having a crack, and you never know, you don't know if you don't have a go, do you?
No, well, I mean, they're only young, and they've got speed, and quite clearly they can handle that track. Any dog that handles Dubbo is going to handle Wentworth Park, you would think, and Aston Costello. Now, as he... Shane quite rightly pointed out there, you've only got to improve 2 or 3 tenths on a 42.10 and you're in the mix, potentially to make a final. So it was a really good performance by Aston Costello the other night.
Yeah, definitely. He's going to probably have to strip a little bit stronger to take on the likes of Al Policella, but with a few 700s under his belt, anything can happen.
All right, time for a short break.
The time-honoured Golden Easter Egg.
They're set for the egg.
The ultimate race all trainers and owners want to win, with the winning dog taking home $350,000.
Powered up, earned, got up and won the money.
Brett Lee's charging away.
Simply Limelight won the Easter Egg.
3 weeks of competition to crown one champion. Heats start on March 30 and conclude with the semi-final on April 6. And the Golden Easter Egg Grand Final on Saturday, April 13 at Wentworth Park. Group racing at its finest. Tickets are just $10 at the gate. Go to thedogs.com.au.
At TAB, we're on for French racing. To celebrate, we're giving away a VIP trip for two to Paris and the Arc de Triomphe this October. To go in the draw, simply place a minimum $10 win bet on any French race between February 1st and April 13th. TAB, we're on.
Excludes SA, ACT and WA residents. 18 plus only. Ends April 13th. T's and C's apply. New South Wales Authority number TP/2113. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Brain tumour, migraine, dementia.
Have you or someone you love been touched by a brain disorder, disease or injury? Help the ones you love by donating to research today. Visit brainfoundation.org.au.
Form Guide, brought to you by Same Race Multi on the TAB app. Combine multiple runners for bigger odds. You win some, you lose more.
Missing your daily dive into the sporting smorgasbord? The BSB is back with the latest local and international sport and racing, plus your calls and texts.
The Big Sports Breakfast from 5:30
on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab.
The Inglis Easter Yearling Sale statistically provides the best opportunity for you to buy the best horses. So don't miss out on the 2024 renewal, April 7 and 8 at Riverside Stables. Catalogue available now. Visit inglis.com.au for more information.
On Sky Sports Radio, let's get back to Going Greyhounds.
The 8th the favourite at 270. This set... And racing, Zipping Megatron, second last out. Marvel Zombie began well, not without us punching up on the fence in second berth, followed by Furness. And then came Semi Ethan, who's off the track. He went wide. He's headed off by Ali Tango, the runners. Then came Zipping Megatron running on. Three lengths away, Semi Ethan, Amika Jacobs, second to last. And Spring General sees them all. Off the back, Marvel Zombie attacked by Zipping Megatron, who stole a march on the home corner. And he dashed away. Zipping Megatron, six clear. Marvel Zombie, Zipping Megastar. He is Zipping Megatron. He won it by six lengths to Not Without Second, followed by Marvel Zombie third. Then came Semi Ethan, Furness, Amika.
Zipping Megatron, he might just well be a megastar before he finishes his career. That was him taking out the Dogs final at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. And joining us to discuss that win and his future plans is Jason Magri. Good morning to you, Jace.
Yeah, good morning, Kat.
That was a very impressive win. You must have had a few butterflies when he fell out of the boxes the way he did, but I tell you what, James McDonald couldn't have steered him home any better.
Yeah, he was a bit nervous when he came out, but you know, I sort of expected that from the outside with him, but the way he handles himself through the field, it's pretty incredible, actually. when once he gets a bit of a gap, he'll take the run straight away. He doesn't hesitate, so it's a sign of a good dog anyway.
Yeah, I've said that before about some dogs, and he's clearly got a GPS in his system, Jason. He was in, well, he could potentially have been in a lot of trouble heading to the first turn and out of that catching pen, but he just barged through them.
Yeah, he did. It just shows that the will he's got to win. He was in a bit of a bad spot, and they just gave him that inch, and he took it straight away. So he's going good, just he keeps going now.
The thing with him is he's a big 36-kilo boy, and going around Wentworth Park being such a tight little track, it's what you need. You just need them to have that bit of a bull mentality, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. He's a very big dog, but he gets around when he's real good. He rails real tight around there, and it's incredible for the size he is, how he handles the joint. So he's got that bulldog mentality too. He won't hesitate for a run. He'll go for it.
He's always had the boom on him since he started. He's only had the 9 starts now for 7 wins. But 4 runs this year, he smashed the 26 barrier at Bulleye, Jason. But just talk us through some of the problems you've had with him before you were able to get him back to the track.
Last year, his last start he had last year, I gave him another trial after he won, and he didn't go as good. And got the vet to look at him, and he pulled his calf. He split his calf a bit. So he was out for about 3 months for that, and then we got him back going good again. He won at Bulleye, and I think after Bulleye, I gave him a trial around Richmond, and he broke 25 in the slip, but he sprained his wrist and it blew up. So we had to give him another 10 to 14 days for that, and since then he's come back and won two on the bounce.
Now, you've said publicly that you're going to dodge the golden Easter egg with him and head towards the new sensation. Was there any sort of second thoughts on that, given the quality of the dogs that we know that are now heading towards a new sensation and probably bypassing the egg?
Yeah, actually, I had to talk to Marty on the weekend, and we've changed our plans, and we're going to go for the egg with him. It's only because just how good he's going at the moment, and in 12 months' time, I don't know where he's going to be. So we're just going to bite the bullet and have a crack at the egg with him and just hope for the best.
Well, the way he went the other night, like he put the time on the clock, 29:45, after finding all of that trouble early. And you have a look at some of the other winning times over the night. He had a lot on them.
Yeah, true. And that's probably half the reason why we changed our mind. So the way he done it, like he missed a kick and he had to work through the field and he still put time on the board. So I just said to Marty, we've got to give it a go. So probably if the better age dog too, he might race better and they might not interfere as much. So I know it's a tough decision because the new sensation is probably the last age race it could go in, but the dog's going real good. So we've got to give him a go and hope for the best. I know he'll be giving away a lot on experience and that and age, but he won't know what he's racing, so it doesn't make a difference.
When you have those conversations, yourself and Marty, who leads the way? When you went into it, trying to convince him, did he take much convincing?
No, not really. I just say, I think we should do this. And he just says, do it. If you think it's right, just do it. So Marty's pretty easy like that. I just ring him mainly just to tell him what we're doing and where we're heading. And he never complains. He just says, yes, sweet, whatever you think's right.
Well, as you said, he may not be going this well next year, so while the dog's flying, why not have a crack at it? If you don't have a go, you'll never know, as we said with Shane Stiff on the line before. So it's going to be very exciting. As for your other kennel members, Jace, do you have anyone else that's going to be targeting the series or some of the support features?
I've got Zipping Optimus, he'll go into New Sensation. There might be a couple other ones. I just haven't made my mind up what exactly I'm going to do with them. They're still grade 5 dogs and they're just getting up to 5.
We might have just lost Jace there, but I think we got what we needed to get from him anyway, Daff. Obviously,
yeah, it's pretty big news, that.
Yeah, Zipping Megatron heading towards the golden Easter egg, so very exciting for greyhound racing fanatics anyway.
Yeah, and fingers crossed, well, I guess everybody would have their fingers crossed for him to draw near the inside, because clearly that's where he'd be headed soon after the start.
Absolutely. So that's our two guests this week, Daff. We don't have too much else to cover. Obviously, we would have liked to have had a few more on, but
yeah,
the fields aren't out yet.
Well, two things. The fields will be out later, and as soon as we have those fields out, we will have markets on the heats and obviously the outright. That Association Cup is there. Shepparton Cup, explicit. Did you watch that on Saturday night?
Yeah, I did. He is another one that's heading towards the Sandgroper now, and he was absolutely brilliant. Length off the track record, 24.66. He is an absolute freak, and he might be one that we're talking about being a superstar in a couple of months' time, just seeing what he does over in Perth with that Sandgroper. And then obviously straight off the back of that, he's pretty much going to be tagging home for races like the Harrison Dawson at Sandown Park. So it could be a big few months for him.
And Thursday night, we'll have the final of the Rich Launching Pad Series at Sandown Park. They've got a terrific field there. Lakeview Emily, she's taken all before of recent times. She's drawn in box two at $2.10. The wide-running Mapunga Reward, box three at $3.60. Peaky Boo's been a bit of a story. He's campaigned, but he's now with Ben Rawlings in South Australia. He's got the coveted red box there at $7.50. And finally, Kat, I just wanted to touch on the Wheeler Kennel and the moniker that's going to be used instead of Bale going forward. I don't know when that starts, but a lovely touch.
Yeah, obviously, Jan did an interview last week and explained that they're going to be moving away from the Bale, Dinah and Allen prefixes and suffixes that they've been using for
There was also Flex. I can remember Flex dogs.
Yeah, they had them. I think they were the ones that Brendan might have owned and bred himself going back a few years ago. But they're now going to PAW, which stands for Paul Allen Wheeler. So a nice touch to remember the great legend that was Paul Wheeler. And I know that they do have some down with Lisa Delbridge at the moment, so they're in pre-training, so they shouldn't be
too far away.
Yep, exactly.
All right, it's going to be a lovely touch when they hit the track, no doubt. That dynasty will continue to flourish for years to come. So I think we're done and dusted for the day, Kat.
Yep, sure are. Looking forward to those Easter egg heats coming out this afternoon. And don't forget, the all-in market will be back up on the TAB website soon after.
So next Tuesday, we'll be able to go through week two of those finals. I'm not sure whether we'll have the Association Cup heats available next Tuesday, but we can still talk about that anyway. So that's a wrap for today's Going Greyhounds. We'll do it all again next week, Kat.
Looking forward to it.